Oh God. Oh my God.
So I don't know how much road construction you think is appropriate on 420, but I went through three different construction sites.
Feels like it's all a trap.
Yeah. They're just planting cops all over the place.
Oh, speaking of weird shit. So I went on a walk early this morning and right outside of my house, you know, that spot where everyone just like sits and smokes weed and like has their music on in their cars.
Intimately.
Yeah. It's my people.
Right. There was just like a huge mound of shit and it was like loose sod and tree stumps. But it was like wrapped in blankets and then tied to a telephone pole with the cord going straight across the sidewalk.
Oh my god, giant bindle. Yeah, it was basically for a giant bindle.
Wow.
You have giants moving in.
Yeah. Was there Wile E. Coyote walking across the street?
For real. I mean, it was just like, what is this thing? And everyone sort of from the neighborhood was wandering up and being like, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, your neighborhood's just like my dogs. They just, if anything's out of place, like a piece of garbage sitting on a street, they like get very upset.
Yeah, I mean, we were all just kind of like, huh, you see this? What is this shit?
It's great.
Speaking of random shit, how's your quest going to keep people from throwing stuff out in your garage, in your garbage?
Oh, it stopped.
Did you kill someone?
No. I think allegedly I just exuded the willpower to set their lawn on fire.
Didn't set their lawn on fire.
Right.
You just exuded the ability to.
Yeah, yes. Gave that vibe.
Heavy arsonist vibes.
Yeah, exactly.
You do cut a specific silhouette.
Well, shit. All right. Here we are. Yep. Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
These are weird records.
They are. Wasn't Moonstruck one of our first morning records? No, it would have been next and whatever we had with Daryl the first time.
Daryl would have been our earliest one, yeah. We drank coffee
guys,
a couple
I'm
times.
I'm surprised you guys did next.
That
waste
movie,
of time.
That movie has the most exploding Jessica Biels I've ever seen.
Sure.
I did re-listen to that clip again. Every like month I listen to that 5-minute window of me just losing my shit laughing.
I've never heard you laugh like that.
Oh man, it makes me laugh hearing me laugh. I'm just going to insert that 5 minutes right here.
Just as a reminder to people.
Yeah, exactly. Go back in time 2 minutes.
Okay. Neck and martinis. He meets Jessica Biel. There's a whole plot point about her teaching on a reservation.
Yeah. Why did they do that?
It was to set up the FBI using the photo, like the traffic cam, to get the permit number for her reservation access they could track her by that permit.
They could
so dumb.
Have
it could have been a fucking license plate.
No, there was no license plate on the front.
Yeah, I understand that there was no license plate.
They could have just written that there was a license plate on the front. That's how movie making works.
But then there's no obstacles to overcome.
And we don't know that she's a nice person.
Yeah, because we got to know she's a nice person.
Yeah. I will also, it gives her.
So otherwise,
reason
we wouldn't
to be
care
like,
when she blows up later.
Okay, yeah. My favorite part of this movie is when Jessica Biel just explodes.
Okay, that was great. And also,
I laughed so hard.
The news reporter just sitting there, and the cameraman's like unflinching. He's like, "We're gonna keep filming the spot where the body
zoom
was.
In."
Yeah. And the news reporter is just like having an emotional breakdown because she just saw somebody explode. And the cameraman's like, "I don't want to miss a thing."
How often do you see someone just explode?
I don't know, but I think the director for the news program would be like, "Hey, man, shift that camera to the other side. Like, just pan so that like the reporter's on the other side of the shot." It's like, "Oh, boop, you're not looking at an exploded lady anymore."
I don't know. That's when like the card has to come up with the elevator music that says, you know, "We'll be right back. We're experiencing technical difficulties."
Yeah.
Like news bursting at the seams or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something really out of like distasteful.
Bursting at the seams is rude, Sean.
That's what I was going for.
Mm.
Also in this movie, there's a group of European terrorists?
I got a real question about these guys.
They're loosely Russian, right?
Yeah. They're French. I was watching this with subtitles on because maybe the mixing on this is terrible. But it's like there's it's always speaking French. Until one part where someone is definitely speaking German and the subtitle said foreign language.
What was with those guys? Like, they obviously knew Nick Cage had some kind of power.
Everyone did.
Because they were trying to, like, get to Cage also and, like, trying to assassinate him. Why did they know?
Originally, it was just they wanted him because the FBI wanted him. But they didn't know why. And then suddenly they knew why. Also, why is Columbo in this movie? I've never seen Peter laugh this much.
I can't stand this shit.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. You were red, dude.
This movie is so fucking dumb.
And it feels so long, too.
For an hour and a half, it is so goddamn long.
Oh, man.
All right, then where are we? Has he used his time power to fuck her yet?
That's about where we're at.
Okay.
And now, back to our regular episode.
What was I supposed to remind you of?
You were supposed to remind me of something?
Yeah.
Don't have me remind you of reminding me.
No, Bill's a Sparkle Buddy now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
We have a new Sparkle Buddy, Bill. Thanks for joining. I'll try and remember your name at the end also, but in case I fuck it up, Bill.
Yeah.
Just take a clean one just so you can like throw it in there at the end.
Bill.
There we go.
And Bill. I've never said Bill that many times.
Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. We love you.
Well, with that, welcome back to Cage Match, a roundabout way of meeting Nicolas Cage. I'm your host, Sean, here with my co-host,
Nick. I'm Nick.
And our producer,
Peter. Hi.
And we have a special guest today, my friend, Ian. Say hi, Ian.
Hello.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah. So I think it's safe to say this podcast is one of the reasons you and I are friends.
I would say so.
Because someone's like, oh, Sean has a Nicolas Cage podcast. And you're like, Nicolas Cage, I have opinions.
Lots of opinions. How do you not? How do you walk through the world without having a bunch of Nicolas Cage opinions?
I thought I had Nicolas Cage opinions, but apparently they were all wrong until I started this podcast.
Fair enough.
I have two opinions. Nicolas Cage is bad and Nicolas Cage is good. And they're both right simultaneously, always.
Fair.
It is the constant of the universe.
So, Ian, what got you started with Cage? Like, why do you know so much about Nick Cage?
Fair question. I suppose The Rock would be the correct answer. As a child, just loved The Rock, grew up near San Francisco, was for some reason much cooler that Nicolas Cage was there instead of it just being a really weird island with a prison on it. So I would say that's probably what got me in at the beginning. And then it's Nicolas Cage. How do you not just hold on?
But there were a lot of people who saw The Rock and then only ended up watching like two other Nick Cage movies ever.
That is fair.
Have you seen everything at this point other than some of the most recent stuff?
I have not. I actually haven't had a count. I'm about half.
Okay.
So I'm at about 70-ish, 60-ish, over 50. That's where I'm at right now.
That's so about where we're at.
Yeah, with the whole bracket giving us 64, and then I think we've had 10 bonus episodes. So, yeah.
I keep finding new ones. They're out there.
Have you seen The Croods?
The Croods I have not seen.
All right.
Fair.
But he has seen Croods too.
As we all have.
I mean, we watched National Treasure 2 first for this podcast.
Yeah.
It was a good choice. That was the superior National Treasure.
And it failed to Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Because Sorcerer's Apprentice is a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Great flag, I do love Sorcerer's Apprentice. But this isn't about Sorcerer's Apprentice.
No, what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about Moonstruck and Guardian Tess.
For that one person who complained, why don't you tell us what those movies are?
Moonstruck is about Cher finding love in all the wrong places. And Guardian Tess is about Nicolas Cage being kind of a sad gun nut.
Interesting takes.
Yeah, okay, now Ian, you describe these two movies.
Yeah, we have a guest here, so I don't have to work as hard.
I'd say Moonstruck is about Cher finding love, but I wouldn't say in all the wrong places necessarily. I'd say it's a story of love for everyone involved. You know, it's the mom struggling with her, you know, marriage, failing, dad doing the same. I mean, it's a whole story of love, I feel like, where Nicolas Cage gets to be an absolute nut and complain about his hand the whole time. Love that. Guarding Tess, I would say, is a story of a man who is disgruntled in his job, hates everything about it, and it's a kind of full circle, finding your way back to what you know, essentially.
By shooting someone's toes off.
Mm-hmm. Which is the only way to find ourselves back to where we need.
You know? All right, now you go, Nick.
It's a lot of kissing.
Yeah, there you
both
go.
Movies.
Both yeah. movies, a lot of kissing. Let's do Moonstruck first. I don't know. I'm feeling drawn that direction.
All right. The Bella Luna's caught your eye.
The Bella Luna.
Bella Luna.
I still love the grandpa. I love all his dogs. I love that the actor is deaf and just kind of waited till people stopped talking to give his lines. It made it so good at the end when he's just like sitting there crying. He's like, I'm so confused. But I don't know. Stellar performances from everybody. It's like just kind of campy and big enough that everybody's interesting. Even like the liquor store owner and wife that are arguing about whatever. It's interesting to watch. They're fun. It's cute.
All right, because I'm going to fuck this up a lot. Which one's Johnny and which one's Ronnie again?
Johnny is the engaged.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Ronnie is the one who lost his hand, played by Nicolas Cage.
Is the engaged.
Okay. Yeah. Who has a woof inside of him.
A woof?
A woof.
He's got a woof.
He's a woof.
Johnny cares about his mom. Ronnie does not.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm just going to put Dingbat for Johnny.
Yeah, you got it. This movie to me is about how women rule and men are dumb children.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how I felt about it the entire time watching it.
Fair.
Johnny's such a big baby.
Johnny's a big baby. Professor Hot Pants is a big baby.
John Mahoney.
Yeah, John Mahoney.
How old is John Mahoney in this film?
Probably 55 or so.
People aged more back then. We had this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
People just looked shittier.
Yeah, like we're a good decade older than the cast of Cheers when she... You know,
oh, yeah.
When sure. Cheers was going on and we all look younger than all of them.
Indoor smoking was a wild thing.
That's
dude.
Fucking true. He was only like 45 when this movie came this movie came out. 47.
Off,
yeah. He looked older than that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was known as an old actor. He never played roles as a young actor. So we all just know him as Frasier's dad, essentially.
That's true.
I kind of would like to see John Mahoney, the action star. Like just one high intensity role.
Also,
Burn Notice. He's the villain in the first season of Burn Notice.
Wow, that's not what I'm looking for.
He jumps out of a helicopter.
That I'm looking for, but I'm not looking for the rest of the show.
I love Burn Notice.
I know. I'll forever deny it.
I was going to also give props on the Cheers reference that we got all the way back to Frasier's dad. So we kind of full circled there.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen the Frasier revival?
No.
No.
Have not.
I hear it's good.
I have heard the opposite. Oh. So
Frasier holds up weirdly well. I watched like the first few seasons on Hulu recently.
But how do you feel about Frasier not in Seattle? And
I mean, he was in Boston originally.
Yeah. For Cheers. But then Frasier was Seattle.
Yeah. And now he's gone and moved in with his son.
I still really want to play Boss Dragons and Scrambled Eggs, the Frasier RPG.
Yes.
I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I just don't know enough about Frasier to really be good at it, but
the concept of that hurts so much. What is this?
They made the tabletop RPG based on Frasier. So it's like Frasier, but with magic mystery. I don't know, man. I'll send you the PDF. It's pretty funny.
Okay. This might be my birthday game.
Oh, we should do it. Yeah. I would have to actually watch Frasier for a bit, but.
Oh, I'd run it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But I think the players still need to understand Frasier related
references.
You're playing like Niles and Frasier and the girl
Daphne.
Yeah, that's her name.
Ross.
That's both of them, I think.
Eddie the dog.
I mean, don't think Eddie is in there.
Too bad. He is now.
Hey, that's the power of imagination, right?
That dog is long dead.
Oh yeah. Well,
so is John Mahoney.
Not in my imagination.
So is John Mahoney. Also, John Mahoney's chair should be a playable character.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. You know? Okay, so Moonstruck, I found it charming on second, you know, go around. Yeah. I think it's a lot of fun. I do think that the ensemble cast really adds to everything.
You and I both noticed the same thing on this rewatch when, checking my notes, Johnny is talking about his brother and he like raises his left hand. He looks at his hand and then like sheepishly puts it away.
Also, what a stupid concept. It's like, I'm pissed at my brother because he distracted me while I was slicing.
He
like,
made me look wrong.
Hey, he wanted the bread. He distracted him while slicing the bread.
By what? Like tickling him?
I don't know, maybe.
It's a good question. Johnny's really annoying. I'd find him quite distracting.
Well, Ronnie is an active listener.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. That's why he gets Cher at the end.
Yeah. And he's a hand talker.
Yeah.
He's very passionate about his hand.
Yeah. I loved all the hand talking in this movie again. And as soon as I started to notice again, I was like, oh, that's right. There was that one aunt who happened to be the hand coach for the whole cast.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. And then so I was just speak like, Italian.
What's going on here? And then I was just a racist stereotype for the rest of the day. And I'm not upset about that. No. It's fine. Didn't we decide that Italians aren't people?
I'm pretty sure we did during the Captain Corelli's
episode. So that still holds for Italian Americans.
Yeah. Fair.
Do you think he's got attachments for that hand now?
I hope so.
I mean, assuming that that character was a real person and that we're now 35 years later. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. How do you think that marriage panned out?
Oh, I mean, great. How could it not?
I think they got divorced and he turned into Dr. No. And so that's why now he's got like cool claw hands and martial arts.
Yeah.
That's better.
He turned to crime.
I can't do a good Ronnie as Dr. No. I'm going to keep checking my notes for this the whole time.
I mean, it is tough to keep it in your head for some reason, but like it shouldn't be that hard.
No, their names are too similar.
Why did they make it Johnny and Ronnie?
They have a shit mother. That's probably why Ronnie doesn't talk to his mom.
It's true. Ronnie does not talk to his mom. Johnny loves his mama.
Yeah.
The scenes with her dying, quote unquote.
So good. When he's just like crying at the foot of the bed and she's like, just waving him off.
Baby.
So Peter and I talked about this a bit yesterday. How long a period of time does this movie take place over?
I think about a week.
Yeah, it can't be terribly long.
Like on they the get short in, end,
yeah, they
it's
get
like
in
3 days.
And on the short end, it's 3 days. They get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to meet between her meeting Ronnie and her being engaged to Ronnie is 48 hours.
Probably
they meet at the bread shop. They go to his place. They sleep together.
Let's also talk about how terrible of an idea Johnny had to get engaged, then get dropped off at the airport. Like you're not even gonna consummate your engagement whatsoever. Like, yeah, that's gonna go well.
Johnny doesn't seem like a big consummator guy.
Yeah.
And she convinces him.
Johnny doesn't fuck.
Johnny does not fuck. Ronnie fucks.
Ronnie fucks.
We all can agree with that. And also, they're pretty far off in age to be brothers. I mean, he could be his dad.
I mean, that's just because Johnny looks like shit. Speaking of like premature aging.
No, I mean, Ronnie looks like shit too.
Different kind of shit though.
Fair. And Nicolas Cage still had his baby teeth in this movie.
He didn't. Yeah. He was missing that one of the eye teeth.
The one. Okay.
Is that the one he pulled out for Birdie?
I think so. Man, commitment to a bit. Also, like his fucked up teeth are pretty charming. Like I like that look on him a lot versus just veneers. But I'm not a celebrity, so
yeah. You know, you're
not.
Old.
You're not a Coppola.
Well, my IMDb star power is increasing. So
there you go. Hey, call me when you reach my level.
Yeah. Are you looking up Danny Aiello's age?
Yeah, it's like a 30-year difference.
Is he really 30 years older?
It's a lot. I mean, Cher is quite a bit older, too.
Born 1933.
Holy shit. Okay.
Wow, Nicolas he's Cage, pre-World War II.
64.
Fuck.
They're brothers. They're totally brothers. Yeah. 31-year difference.
Their mom
fucks.
Their mom fucks for real. That's done. Crazy.
Oh, man.
I mean, he does look like an old dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is Cher? Why does Cher like him?
She would be she's such not in love a with him. Like it's dry, just withered husk. Can you imagine pushing a baby out of like?
It's just crepe paper.
Maybe like, that's why they hate each other.
Between two could stale. I was gonna say tortillas, but what's Italian? Two out of like a fucking
cannoli.
Yeah, a stale cannoli.
Gross.
gross. That's so fucking just sick.
Sprinkle some pistachios on it when it comes out.
Manja.
That's borderline.
That's the some Italian.
We'll see how much of that makes the cut.
All of it.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
God.
Fuck. It's a good thing I'm Italian, or else I'd be offended.
You're like, oh, that sounds pretty nice, sounds actually. Pretty I could good. Go for a cannoli. A little gabagool.
Ah, the gabagool.
This whole cast fucking rocks. Olympia Dukakis is great, and
it's just great to say her name too.
Yeah,
Dukakis.
I love when she tells the girl. I love when she threatens to beat the grandfather to death.
Oh yeah,
like you give those dogs any more of my food, I'm gonna beat you to death.
I'm gonna kick you to death.
I'll kick you to death. That's
very specific. Back. Yeah, kick you to death is a really specific one.
I feel like the cast has a lot of depth. Like you even care about the aunt and uncle for no reason, and he's got the moon, and it's his moon, you know. And it's
he's such a weird uncle. It's nice to have that, like, super sweet but kind of off.
I love,
like,
the way he starts it. I love the way he starts the moon story by, I never told you this because it's not really a story.
One time I saw your father outside with the moon. You didn't see nothing.
Cosmo's a fucking dick.
I love Cosmo.
him with the people talking about plumbing is so good. He's just like disgustedly scraping at that pipe.
Yeah.
Look at this.
When he gets called out for his philandery at the end and just like slams the table and sits back down, he's like, well, that's over.
Yeah.
Big stand.
I mean, and his wife just kind of takes it all, almost cheats on him, and then walks it back. It's kind of like, yeah, that whole story is about how women are better than men.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love, I'm trying to remember the line exactly, but when she's having dinner with John Mahoney after he's gotten water thrown in his face the second time this film by a younger woman, and she says, she's too young for you. And he goes, I'm too old for me. I relate to that statement.
Fair.
Yeah.
That feels accurate.
I mean, we're about 10 years older or 10 years younger than that right now. We can feel that later.
Soon enough. The Reaper is coming.
And I think we're all middle-aged here.
Yeah, but John,
not me. I'm not even 40.
I mean, neither am I.
Okay. Yet.
I'm close. Yeah. It's looming.
We're all, I mean, the three of us are close. I don't know. Where are you at?
That's fair. I'm going to keep it, anonymous and keep not even nice. Yeah. You know, I've got the grays, don't worry.
You could be anywhere from 25 to 50.
Exactly. I feel like that's the whole conversation we've had about this film, so yeah.
I'm just perfect. Saying we could all play teenagers in the 90s.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, what about guarding Tess? How does everyone feel about the baseline for that ensemble compared to the baseline of the Moonstruck ensemble?
I don't think in Guarding Tess, like, everybody stands out the same. There are like background characters.
Yeah.
A lot of the other Secret Service agents, just kind of background.
Yeah.
Now, Frederick the Nurse is awesome. Yeah, I can't remember his name. Yeah.
The uncle from Harry Potter.
Yeah. The cast for Moonstruck just stands out nicely.
Yeah. Well, the story's more about the
family.
Whole unit.
Yeah. It's a family story. Family love.
Agreed.
Phrasing. But yeah, I mean, before we jump into Guarding Tess, though, in like a full-on way, like, more on Moonstruck?
Like, I still love it. I love...
It's a human story.
It's a very, yeah.
I lost my head! I lost my bride!
Johnny has his hand! Johnny has his bride! Bring me the big knife!
Yeah. Josie asked me if I think that he fucks with the hand on or the hand off.
On, definitely. Oof.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking about attachments.
Fuck with the hand on.
Yeah. You put the one on that goes like this, and then...
What's the other one go like? Like this?
Yeah.
That. Oh, yeah. Okay. I can see that.
It's got the one that goes kind of like this.
Oh, that's wild. Yeah. No, you can't do that. That's illegal.
Listen, man. Not in his house.
Only in 48 states.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chrissy, the woman who works at the bread shop, she has such a small role, but like her weird obsession with him, her weird watery eyes. Like, I really
love
like
him.
Her.
Well, the bread shop is also wild. Like, let's talk about how fucking crazy. It's the 80s. It shouldn't have like a dungeon with a guy loading like stuff into this. Like
it literally looks like any underground tour. Exactly. In like a major metropolitan area.
Right.
It's like, these buildings are flooded out and burned and haunted. And this is where we make bread. This is my favorite focaccia stone.
You know, it was probably like had normal ovens originally, and then he lost his hand. He's like, no, it needs to be darker.
Fair.
I need a place to shovel coal.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? Queens?
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't know if every place in Queens has that, you know, just their own little dungeon, you know, their own little Nicolas Cage waiting there.
I do want to
talk. Sounds like a Queens thing.
I do want to talk about the lost art of like painted backgrounds.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like that kind of really just went out of fashion. It's probably because of higher definition stuff.
Yeah.
But like there's artistry to that. That's really cool. And it's just gone.
Yeah.
Now. Let's just make AI backgrounds.
Okay.
Sean quit the podcast. Get the big knife.
Look, it would be faster and cheaper. And we wouldn't have to deal with all those fucking artists and their opinions.
Yeah, goddamn artists. All right, favorite scene from this movie.
Wow. Yeah,
run around the table.
The first time Cher and Cage hook up and she's making him breakfast or food or
steak.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to make you a steak. He's like, I don't want a steak. You're going to eat a steak and you're going to like it. I want it well done. You're going to eat it bloody. It's good for your blood. And then like he eats two bites of the steak and then just fucking sweeps the table. He just picks her up and she's like, where are you taking me? To the bed. I love it. It's just the manliest sex scene that I've ever seen Nicolas Cage perform.
I like how like they go to the bed. She's like, take me, leave nothing left for Johnny. And then they get up in the middle of the night to look at the moon and go back to bed. And the next morning she wakes up and she's like, holy fuck.
It's Cosmo's moon. You
know? Moon spells.
She was moonstruck.
She was moonstruck. That's hard to beat. I don't think you can really beat that scene.
That is probably the best scene, but other good ones.
I mean, the dinner table scene at the end is just when everyone's like kind of
figuring shit out.
Yeah. And filtering in. And every time somebody comes to the door, it's like, oh, it's going to be Johnny. Nope, it's the aunt and uncle. Yeah. No, it's this person.
I think the opening scene's really good, too. I think the Italian restaurant, you got the waiter who's been his waiter for
Bobo
the waiter. And he's like, this is our loyal Johnny's been our customer for 30 years. You know, it's like you kind of get brought into the movie through the Italian restaurant, I would say.
Also, Bobo fucking rules. Every Bobo in every Cage movie is good.
All Bobos. Two of them?
All Bobos.
What other Bobo are we talking
about? Retirement plan.
Oh, yeah, you're
Ron
right.
Perlman.
You're right. Yeah.
Ron Perlman plays an excellent Bobo.
Perlman's Bobo could definitely kill the other Bobo.
So my best friend growing up was Bobo. So
you had a Bobo?
I had a Bobo. Yeah.
Oh, he's, my God.
He's in Korea now. He's a 6'5" Korean man. He's, you know, that's Bobo. That exactly.
That's not where I expected that story to go.
That's a good Bobo.
It's a good Bobo.
It's kind of like when you told me about your cobbler or Rachel's cobbler.
Like what? Actual cobbler?
Remind me of a story that I told you.
I was talking about like some boots and Rachel's like, oh, you should take them to my cobbler. I'm like, you have a cobbler? And I'm like Italian guy's like, no, Chinese. I'm like, what?
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's Rachel's cobbler. Yeah.
I love that you're like,
yeah, like that
story you told me,
her
and then it's a conversation between
Croatian
you and Rachel.
Only.
You were in the car.
I was in the car, yeah.
Reminds me of that story you were tangentially associated with.
I didn't remember the facts of it until I worked my way back. That's how memory works.
We got there.
That's fine. Do you think John has a haberdasher?
No, I've asked him.
I wish. That'd be awesome.
Buys hats off the rack.
With a head like that, you gotta get custom fits, John.
Gosh, what's that? The regular at Scott?
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely got a haberdasher.
You know dude does.
He has nice hats.
He does.
I walked by his house once not knowing it was his. I just like looked in a window and there was just a wall of hats. And I'm like, Scott lives here.
I wrote a song. I wrote a song about it once called How Many Stetsons on My Wall.
Did you have a favorite scene?
I mean, I love I lost my hand. I lost my bride.
I love the old Italian woman who puts a curse on the plane.
Oh, yeah. She was pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
Those are the pieces of this that I'm like, the fuck? Why is this necessary?
It's weird.
Who wrote this movie?
Yeah.
Did you know they weren't going to have Nicolas Cage do it, but Cher said she would not do the movie if it wasn't Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
I love that piece of trivia on this.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I cannot imagine who it would have been, you know?
Well, also imagine writing this film and being like, well, we have to have Cher. It's like, how many movies has Cher even been in? Like, you could have other people do this role, but obviously it is a time and a place. It makes the movie.
I said this last time, like, I've never quite gotten, like, Cher as, you know, like, I don't get the big deal. And then I saw this movie, I'm like, nah, I get it. Cher's great.
Good in Splash, too.
She was in Splash?
Am I misremembering? Wasn't she?
I don't know. This is an area of film that I don't rewatch. The 80s
not seen
mermaid
Splash.
Films.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's a different one. That's Daryl Hannah.
Mm. Oh, Daryl Hannah's great.
Yeah. Also, yeah.
I definitely.
She was in Mermaids. Sorry.
Oh,
yeah. God. Get your.
What a misremember.
Mer film in order.
Fucking Mer films. Werecats, Mer films.
Oh, man.
I don't like what you're becoming, Peter. So in the matrix of good movie, good cage, bad movie, bad cage, good, bad, bad, good. Where do you put this one, Ian?
Oh, I put this up. This is towards the top. It's the top 10. My dad was a huge fan of this movie as a kid. Very strangely, like my dad was a cop, but like drank white wine, listened to Cher, and loved Moonstruck. You know, that kind of vibe.
This is a cop I can get behind.
Exactly. And both my grandpas were cops, and my grandpa's favorite movie was Guarding Tess. So this is a good kind of alignment of my dad versus my grandpa almost.
I was say the mustache makes sense now.
Right.
That's proud tradition.
The only thing I carry over. We have to.
I think this is a great movie, and I love Nicolas Cage's performance in it. Just even the little things when he comes in at the end and Cher's trying to get him out of the house. And the mom's like, do you want oatmeal? It's like, yes, Mrs. Cabarelli. What's her last name?
His last name's.
What's their last name?
Camerari is his last name, but I can't remember what theirs is.
Yeah. It's like, Miss Cher.
Miss Cher's mom. It's
like, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Cher's mom. I would love some oatmeal.
Yeah.
I bet it's going to be good.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great movie and a terrific performance, very full performance. It's got a good range and he cared the whole time.
He
was engaged. So I loved it.
I like how they both have a glow up halfway through.
Yeah.
They both clean up real nice.
Mm-hmm.
Cute couple.
This is definitely in a it grew on me for sure. I think that I would count it as a very good, very good on both sides.
Good.
Yeah.
Agreed. Very good.
Very good.
Very good, even, some might say.
Bill.
Molto bene.
All right. Well, Guarding Tess, then. Let's talk that one out.
What?
You got segued.
he just said what the next movie was.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yeah, I know.
Feels like a segue. It's a meh movie overall.
It's a weird one.
It suffers from trying to do more than it's capable of, and it's only trying to do two things.
Yeah.
Well, it's two movies.
Yeah.
It's two movies just jumbled into one movie.
Yeah. The thriller aspect of the kidnapping comes too late in the movie. Like, you get like that sense of like shit gets weird with the driver and whatnot, but it doesn't mesh in super well.
Like,
the whole having brain cancer thing or the brain tumor doesn't do anything for this film, because this is a movie about her trying to like reconnect with another human being because she's dying, or it's just there for no reason. And then she gets kidnapped, and that's kind of what brings them all together in the end.
Well, and I mean, assuming, because it probably came out, 95-ish, I'm guessing. We're all supposed to think this is just Barbara Bush, right? Or is it supposed to be Reagan? Like, regardless, no one cares about this person at all.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, the fact that they make her a total terrible person in it doesn't help, because the whole society already hates this person off the bat.
Yeah, I feel like they really could have leaned into their growing friendship way more and just fuck the kidnapping plot.
Yeah.
Or just make it more of a kidnapping movie.
Or make it a kidnapping movie. Like, right. It's like pick one.
Go
lane.
Go one way.
Well, like when I was watching it, we get to the point where right before she gets kidnapped and she's having her picnic and he goes and like checks her pulse because she falls asleep. It's like, that would have been a great time for like, it's like, oh God, let's get her to the hospital. They find out, they talk about it. Like you connect all those threads. No, she gets kidnapped by characters that we've never been introduced to.
I was just sitting here not listening and I was thinking to myself, this movie would be so great if it was like Weekend at Tess's and she dies early on, but then the president's coming to town for that library. So Nicolas Cage and the Secret Service has to like Weekend at Bernie's Earth through this whole thing.
That would be a much better film.
I'm already feeling much better about this movie.
I do like that idea. That would be really fucking funny.
You think we can get him to do it?
Yeah.
I'm Tess Carlisle.
Yeah, definitely fucking puppet sticks.
Yeah, full marionette work.
How did they keep Bernie from smelling in that movie?
Axe body spray.
This is before Axe.
I mean, Weekend at Bernie's, it's only one weekend. And then Weekend at Bernie's 2, he's underwater a lot of that movie.
It's true. He's a zombie.
Yeah. So he's like mostly clean. I don't know.
Wait, I probably just processed this out of my brain. There was a second one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He gets turned into a zombie.
Yeah.
By a witch doctor. So who wants his treasure?
He's fueled by music.
Yeah. And reggae music makes him walk. Like steel. He is empowered by the sound of steel drums.
Yeah. You haven't seen
National Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Oh my God, man. It's so good. I mean, it's not, but.
That sounds so stupid.
You're going to go home and watch it, aren't you?
I'm going to do my best. Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure I got all that right.
You nailed it. Yeah.
A movie I saw once when I was like 9.
All of that could be lies. And it's just so good that I want it to be true.
It is true.
I kind of wish that Sean had just made that up off the dome. And I went along with it and was like, yeah, it's totally that. That's what goes on.
I did this in, I was describing a scene from, what's the train movie? The ice.
Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer. I was describing a scene from Snowpiercer in a group chat. It's like, yeah, it's like when Allison Pill pulls the Uzi from the basket of eggs and shoots Captain America. Now you're all wondering if I'm fucking with you. Go watch Snowpiercer.
I like the three different train movies we came up with.
Yeah.
Bullet Train, 310 to Yuma.
Good choices.
Snowpiercer.
310 to Yuma is definitely the best of those three.
Hell yeah. That movie fucking rules. Yeah.
I don't know. Bullet Train is really good. I fucking loved Bullet Train.
I mean, Snowpiercer, great movie. Great
all good
film.
Movies.
We're just a bunch of fucking train enthusiasts.
Yeah,
we're
train podcast.
Train
now.
Pod.
Yeah. So Ian, why did your grandpa like this movie so much?
My grandpa watched mostly Westerns. I think this just kind of aligns with a shitty Western in some ways, you know, it's playful, it's fun, everything's going fine. And then all of a sudden, guys gotta take care of business. And I think that's kind of the way a lot of people from that generation saw film.
Yeah, that's fair.
You need a take charge moment.
You need a take charge moment, which I think is who wrote this was probably that of that generation. And you're like, oh, this is great. This whole story kind of like, it's kind of like Cowboy who is told to sit down and relax and not worry. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's your time. You know,
sure. He's the tamed cowboy. He's like got the home out on the ranch or whatever.
Exactly.
And as soon as his lady gets taken away, like
There's many Nicolas Cage movies that are exactly that.
Yeah.
So
all we need now is a stuffed bunny.
Then he finds his spine. Yeah. Exactly. No, it's great. I love it.
I do like their relationship by the end because he just wants, like, his character just wants to be guarding the president, guarding someone of import. He wants his big action moment. towards the end of the film, to track down the kidnappers, he shoots off the toe of the chauffeur who like helped with the kidnapping.
Yeah, Earl.
Earl. When they finally like get to Tess, you know, it's like the cop, the other detective was like, he shot a man to find you. It's like, oh, you finally got to shoot someone? Did you kill him? No, ma'am. And she's like kind of ashamed of him.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh, after all your practice?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was the point of all that practice? Yeah.
Well, the other side of it is like, I mean, it's the 90s. How do you kidnap someone in the 90s? That, like, you're going to, what are you expecting from this? Like, you're going to be rich and walk away.
$1 million.
Yeah, $1 million bucks. Like,
they asked for $15 million.
$15 million bucks.
Which used to mean something.
Sure, but like.
That's like $45 million now. Josh? Tell us.
It's just like robbing a bank now. It's like, do you really think you can successfully rob a bank and just walk away from it? It's
dude, like, okay. Yeah. So I'm from Kansas City and I'm a Chiefs fan. And there was a Chiefs fan.
Oh, I know. The mega fan.
Babadur. Yeah. He robbed lots of banks. He got about $1 million out of it before getting caught.
Like, that's a lot of work for $1 million.
It is a lot of work for $1 million. But yeah.
But he got caught again. That's the.
He did get caught.
That's the thing.
But he did. He was on the spree for like a year and a half.
It's all about the rush.
Which one is that? Is that the one that dresses up like a wolf?
Yes. Yeah, it's okay. That one.
Yeah.
And also, fuck the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, are you? You're a Niners fan.
I'm a Niners fan. Yeah.
I get it.
Fair. I mean, I just don't see the point of kidnapping or you know, robbing a bank. You know, it's you're going to eventually get caught.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I don't know, like the house gets flashbanged, like helicopter shows up, and then we see the kidnappers beat to shit. They got roughed up.
Yeah, that was the hardest this movie goes. It's like, just, we're going to enter this home and just assault you.
And then they buried her.
That was the hardest and most honest this film got.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely.
No knock warrant. Boom.
And then he gets off, like, from after shooting the guy. She just calls the president and is like, I don't want anything to happen to him.
Well, yeah, obviously. Well, I mean, he saved her life through that action.
No, I know, but
and Earl was a shitty driver. He was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah, fuck Earl.
It was the 90s. Like everyone just like kind of assumed whatever a president says is good.
Yeah.
Now it's a different time.
Different vibes. Different vibes.
Yeah.
Now presidents have Twitter.
Yeah.
And ex-presidents have truths.
Yeah. I love that his stock is just dropping consistently.
Oh man, did you see that they're writing the like NASDAQ or whatever, claiming like market tampering through short selling.
Incredible.
They're like, people are short selling our stock and that's making it worthless.
Yeah.
It's worthless because it is worthless, you fuck.
Apparently.
Now, meanwhile, Gooncoin, you can get it through the podcast. That's totally legitimate. Just send me $5 in an envelope and I'll send you one Gooncoin.
Yeah, you'll be issued one Gooncoin.
It's guaranteed to go up.
I love that. Do I get any Gooncoin for being here today?
You get two Gooncoins.
Two sweet. Gooncoins.
Love that.
We have to bribe our guests. Worthless crypto.
I used to live in a house that we called
in physical coins.
I used to live in a house we called Goon House, and we were all such trashy people. There was 13 guys living in this house.
Holy 13
shit.
Goons.
13 goons. And so if you walked around barefoot in said house, you would get a thing gross called Goonfoot.
This is funny because gooning has its own connotation now.
Yeah, exactly. Different vibes now too.
Different vibes. So yeah, Goonfoot. Goonfoot was a real part of my life.
So guarding Tess on the grid.
Bad movie mid cage.
Agreed.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as to say it's bad, but it's not great. It's fine. I think I described it last time as like a Sunday afternoon. It's on TV and you're watching it with your dad or uncle or something like that kind of movie. Yeah, or grandpa. It's exactly that. It's a you're watching it on TV because it's on and somebody has some minor interest in it, but it's definitely a Sunday afternoon film.
It tries to be more than it is.
Yeah, it tries to wake you up in the second half, but
it just is two movies. It's two different movies, and like I said, it's kind of a Western. It kind of fits into that bill, but I don't think he really sends it home at the end. It's kind of meh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
But I agree. Good Cage. I enjoy Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, he's a good character. I mean, he's kind of, like you said, he's sort of a gun nut dork, you know, really just wants to have his piece of the action. But he's like a nice guy, ultimately, you know.
Like, his whole life is just the job.
Yeah.
And, like, he wants that hero, like, cop moment. He wants, that's what he wants his legacy to be. And, like, we see his apartment for a second, and it's sad.
Oh, right. Yeah. With, like, isn't there, like, a samurai sword in there? Like,
oh, God. Oh, he's an incel. Yeah.
Yeah. I love when he comes back and Frederick's just like, ah, oh, you're back to pick up your accoutrement. And he's like, what? He's like, you're back to pick up your shit.
Yeah. Frederick fucking rocks.
Yeah. He's the best part.
This is definitely. Oh, so I'll put this in the same category as like Captain Corelli's, where it's definitely glorifying an unglorifiable situation. Like, he's being kidnapped, he's held at will, and he's got Stockholm syndrome by the end of it, and you just have to say, oh, he's better for it, he's a better man.
I'll also compare this to Captain Corelli's Mandolin in that it's kind of just a fun, like, awkward, like, little movie until it's really not.
Yeah.
And then it gets super violent and weird.
It's cute, it's not, and then it's
over.
Over.
Yeah, that doesn't really, like, that's the thing. It's not an action film. It's a weird, cute film. And then it becomes an action film. So it just doesn't have any place to go there.
Yeah.
I would love it if this movie took like an 8mm style turn, where it starts all cute and then it gets really fucking disgusting and like hardcore, and then there's a fight in a cemetery where he has totally. To beat the machine to death, and like, then it, like, he comes back out and it's just cute at the end again. Like, I want just like, so, like, momentary
pig.
Darkness.
So big.
Yeah. But like, yeah. Way more violent.
Got it.
I like that we've managed to now talk about both of the movies that we're talking about next week in 8mm and Captain Corelli's
Mandolin. Looking perfect.
Nice work.
Yeah. A little primer for you guys.
Adam on for that. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
You know, your classic Captain Corelli 8mm weekend.
Sounds great.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see Joaquin Phoenix talk about dildos again.
Oh, and there's a double Batman connection in these films. You got Mondras and Schumacher.
Oh, yeah. True. Batman.
Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Batman's.
Batmanuel.
Batmanuel.
Well,
who was also the mayor of Gotham City in The Dark Knight.
Huh. Fun.
Yeah. Si, senor. I don't know why I'm continuing that.
Well, I think we kind of already know the answer, but we do have to put it on tape. Which movie advances?
Yeah, Ian, which of these two movies would you put forward knowing that your opinion does not matter?
Knowing that my opinion does not matter, I would say Moonstruck, because I think we talked about Moonstruck earnestly and honestly and had a great conversation. And then we kind of fucked off
for the rest of the podcast.
Correct. So I think we all know that, but I'll let y'all earnestly decide.
I think Moonstruck's an easy choice on this one.
Yeah.
It was so refreshing to watch it again. It's like Weatherman and how nice it is to just sit down and watch it and be like,
Weatherman is just so good.
I enjoyed every minute of this. I don't regret watching a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think about other things I need to do. It's nice. Mm-hmm.
What did Guardian Test go up against originally?
Can we all just talk about Weatherman for a minute now?
Yeah, sure. That movie's like, great.
Man, imagine Michael Caine is your dad and you walked around the city with a bow and arrow. Done. End what? Life.
Just Michael Caine. My favorite part of that film is just Michael Caine going, what's all this sucking and fucking I'm hearing about? Yeah. They call your daughter Camel.
It went up against Matchstick Men.
That's right.
Wow.
I preferred Matchstick Men. These guys hated it.
It did not do it for me.
It's just so transparent from the beginning that I couldn't.
It's a good film.
The daughter character just.
There's some gross daddy stuff in that, but
I don't know.
Of course, but it's still a better film than Guarding Tess.
I don't know. It didn't do it for me.
This is how show goes.
Yeah.
It, fair. Oh, speaking
this of... This is why just, your opinion doesn't matter.
This also, is why my opinion doesn't matter. In
also,
this
since we've just did this preamble for the last hour, so this podcast, we take 64 Nicolas Cage movies and put them in a bracket-style system and whittle it down until we eventually get down to the most cagiest film as decided by Nick and myself.
That's us.
Yeah.
That is us. So Moonstruck's going forward.
Yeah, awesome. Good choice. Ian, anything you want to promote or pitch out there?
Not much. Hopefully one day I'll be back when you're getting down to the, you know, nitty gritty. Hopefully I can talk Moonstruck one more time.
Yeah, maybe if it makes it to the Master 8.
I mean, given that you guys picked Guarding Tess over Matchstick Man, I don't know that it will make it that far. So.
Do we know what it... We should know what's going up against by now.
But
I'm
it's
just
going
curious.
Up against Army of One.
Oh, I fucking love Army of One. God damn, that's such a good movie. I'm sorry, Moonstruck. Man, this country is the best goddamn chicken. I won't go home and watch Army of One. Perfect. Sorry, I'm everybody, I promised food too.
It's a perfect thing to go finish smoking meat too.
Yeah.
It's 420. Why not?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Beanie Boy.
All right.
Also, my favorite sword fight ever.
Yeah, it's great.
They just clang swords together it's once and they good. Go, oh!
You get stuck in the ceiling.
Yeah.
What a dumb movie.
I love it. Let's talk about Army of One for a minute.
No, we're done.
We're done.
What are we talking about next week?
We already covered it. It's 8mm and Captain Corelli's.
Don't forget to say thank you to Bill.
Yeah, yeah. I got it. Thank you for listening. And if you want to hang out with us on social media at all, cage_match_pod or cagematchpod. We are on Patreon. We're also on IMDb, which still chuffs me. And
I mean, you put us there.
I know. I did all the work and it's great.
You put us there, but they let us.
They let us do it. Those fools. But if you do want to support us on Patreon, you can find us at Cage Match. And thank you to our Sparkle buddies, Josh, Sean, Josie, Rico, Matt, Adam, and Bill. And to our Cage Dancers, Ira, John, Freeman, Lance, and Nathan. I got there.
Wow.
Nailed
impressive.
It.
Impressive. That's the most impressive part of the book.
Oh, thanks. Me remembering 12 names.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That many people will pay us for this.
That is the most impressive part.
Thanks.
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 Bye. Bye.
What were you going to say?
Oh, something about murder mysteries.
That's ham-fisted.
But then I was also just thinking...
Ham-fisting sounds terrible.
It is.
Prude. No, then I just got thinking about Deathclock Mermaider song.
This is a song about murder. 20,000 leagues under the sea.
Well, because we did mimosas at least once.
Oh yeah, we've done them at least twice.
And
yeah.
Then with the with Moonstruck, we did the champagne with the sugar cube.
You did.
With
yeah, for good luck,
mm-hmm. Marissa.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Are we getting Marissa back?
If Marissa wants to do Joe,
that could be fun.
That sentence is fun.
Eric doesn't listen to this anymore.
Probably not.
Can't blame him.
There's a lot of stuff in this one you can't use from me.
No, that's true. Yeah, this is going to be a delicate cut.
Somehow it's all going to get cut in a way that I sound more offensive.
That's the best way.
Yeah, that's fine.
Maybe we just have an audio filter that makes all the horrible things sound like you.
Hmm.
Just turn the treble up.